echte ervaring.
Really back.
Yes.
This last week wasn't a fluke.
Nah, no debilitating illnesses, no globetrotting.
I mean, they're debilitating illnesses, but you know.
Crippling depression for me, like that's pretty debilitating.
Yeah, we conquering over that shit.
Yeah.
This is episode 59.
59.
Episode 59, only 10 away from episode 69. Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm your host, John.
I'm your other host, Josh.
And yeah, we back in the motherfucking flow.
Yeah.
I see y'all niggas on Twitter, you know what I mean, and Facebook, even though nobody's on Facebook. I seen y'all, thought, oh yeah, John and Josh, they came back.
Yeah.
You know, they not consistent. They might not come back next week. Back in your ass.
Yeah, exactly. Word. Nah, we ain't going nowhere, y'all.
Yeah.
We here to stay.
How you been, Josh?
I'm good, man. I can't complain.
Yeah.
It's nice out.
It's been beautiful the last couple of days.
It's been nice out. It ain't been crazy. Like, it ain't been super crazy hot yet.
Yeah.
Allergies have been fucking nuts, though, dog. My allergies have been killing me. But, like, other than that, man, it's pretty good, man. It's not crazy. Like, you know what I mean? It's nice out. Philly hasn't done its traditional, like, murder a million people once the weather breaks thing.
Yeah. I don't know. Does that, y'all, write us in or hit the hotline in other cities. Do niggas do that?
Yeah,
y'all
rally the weather breaks, like, a million people get murdered.
It get hot, people start getting popped. This shit, like, it's, you know, I don't know what the numbers were for last summer, but, like, when we were in, like, our formative years, quote-unquote, like, 2000 up to, like, 04, 05 and shit, this city was a fucking shit show.
Yeah. With, the weather would break and 30 people would get killed that weekend.
Like that weekend,
How do 30 people get murdered in a weekend?
Niggas get shot up at, like, a white party.
Yeah.
You got your linen on trying to run with your Stacey Adams.
Nah, it wasn't a good look, man.
Terrible.
It wasn't a good look. And you had, like, really oversized linens, too.
Oh, yeah. Because you know everybody was wearing
size.
I used to buy size 5X t-shirts.
Yeah.
And I'm sure at some point I was getting 6X.
Yeah.
Mind you, I was bigger, but I wasn't that much bigger. You know what I mean? It was just the style.
Yeah, dog. Shout out to the homie Mike Bayon. He posted about that the other day, about, like, not wearing white t-shirts. And I was like, I commented, like, got a white t-shirt on right now.
Right now.
Like, you know what I mean? He was like, I was like, but it is polo, so, like, I stepped it up.
It's not a regular, it ain't a Galaxy J.
Yeah, or a Sag on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
He was like, yeah, but it's not 5X, though, is it, right? And I was like, no, it's not.
You
know what I mean? It's a proper size. Like, you know what I mean?
That's the thing. Like, I'm very comfortable with people seeing the outline of my belly now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But then I posted on there because I had it, because it popped up, like, an older picture that I had posted of, like, it was 2001.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, right after 9/11. It was, like, a week or so after
9/11. Yeah.
And it was a picture of me in a white t-shirt. I had a Carolina Jordan jersey on,
mm-hmm.
but it was over a white tee, and my white tee, like, the sleeves was down past my elbow.
Down to the wrist.
I was like, wow, why would I ever think that was a good look?
We all dressed like BG in, like, the old Cash Money videos. It was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, it was terrible. Like, why did I ever think that was a good look, man?
Yeah. It was for the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, hindsight is a mug, you know what I mean?
You look back and be like, shh, that was bad look, y'all. And everything was that way.
Yeah. You mean to tell me none of y'all listening to this, you ain't made some fashion
faux pas
back in the day? Stop it. You're lying to yourself.
No, I definitely, like, would wear some, like, dog, like, academic sweatsuits.
Oh, terrible. Terrible.
Bad, dog.
I had a Sean John. I had a blue, a royal blue Sean John sweatsuit that said Sean John on the back of it. Terrible. In red. It says Sean John in red.
Dog, they still sell Sean John in Macy's.
Really?
Yeah, I was at Macy's the other day, and they still had Sean John in there. I was like,
that's awful. Get some Sean John. Get the white on white Airs.
Yeah.
Do people wear those? I feel like I saw a young boy with, like, white on white Airs.
Yeah,
recently.
People still wearing them.
Yeah.
People still wearing them. they like the colors are way more in now, I think, but like people still wear them. Yeah. My son just bought a pair. I took him to buy some sneakers, and he bought a pair of like tan Air Force Ones, like high top Air Force Ones.
Remember the Bathing Ape joints?
Yeah,
with, like the star. Why was niggas making bootleg Airs back then? That was like a whole wave.
Yeah.
The Gucci Johns.
The Gucci Johns. Oh, you
Coach
go right down,
Johns.
Yeah, go right down to the gallery, get you some, what you call Johns, dog?
Terrible.
Get you some monogram, Gucci monogram Johns.
Yeah, I feel like we talked about this before.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I feel like we definitely, I apologize for diverting us back into old shit. So yeah, you want to talk about this? I just read this, the first agenda item. Jay-Z apparently talked Meek
out of going
to be with Trump
for prison reform. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Meek is free.
Yeah,
and he's
shout
out to him. He's been kind of going around just sharing his experiences and talking about. I don't know if he's been putting out necessarily any ideas of what he wants to see prison reform look like. Just because I haven't, I haven't been
following
it that closely.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently he wanted to go chat with Trump, and Hove
nixed that.
He vetoed it.
Yeah.
I don't know though. I don't think that this is gonna be whatever. I don't think that anybody who meets with Trump is inherently. I hate to use the word problematic, but like I don't think
I feel you.
I don't think that taints you. I don't know why anybody would want to meet with Donald Trump. He doesn't seem like a serious man or somebody who's, especially on a topic like prison reform. He doesn't seem like somebody who's even really serious about that.
Yeah,
you know. So I wouldn't want to meet with him.
He said like as he came out, he was like focused on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Meek was.
Yeah, Meek was. Yeah. But, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, because I don't want to doubt, like, he's, like, his sincerity. You know what I mean?
No, he's probably super sincere. You know what I mean? But it's, I don't think that people should kill Meek too much about this. Because, you know, honestly, he could have gotten out and be like, all right, nigga, we back to popping these bottles and popping these willies. You know what I mean? He doesn't have to leverage his celebrity and his story and his time and energy toward this issue that affects, you know, has affected him, yeah, but also affects lots of people who aren't in the same economic place as
Absolutely.
He is. You know, so he don't got to be doing this. And it's dope and commendable that he is. I just think that a lot of people make what could be perceived as, like, political missteps.
Yeah.
Meeting with, and they may be super sincere and you know, committed to whatever they're trying to, you know, get accomplished. But you don't necessarily need to be meeting with Trump for that goal specifically.
Yeah, and on top of the fact that I just don't think Trump cares that much. And I think it's more of a, like, oh, look what I'm doing type thing.
You think that's it?
Yeah, I would think it's way more of a like, oh, look, I'm meeting with Meek Mill. I'm serious about stuff. Like,
yeah. Oh, you mean on Trump's part? Okay,
Trump's
side.
Yeah.
I got you. Because I think Meek and, you know, his folks that he's working with, they probably looking at it like, okay, this is, you know, the highest seat of power in the land. Let's go talk to this guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I don't think, and I'm glad, shout out to y'all, internet, for, not jumping to conclusions this time or being like reserved. I'm glad that folks haven't been like trying to call him out because he wanted to meet with.
Yeah,
with the
I'm glad, definitely.
Yeah,
I'm definitely glad about that.
Because a lot of times y'all jump to conclusions about stuff. You know what I'm saying? I love y'all, but y'all, y'all be like coming out with the pitchforks immediately.
I think the big thing is everybody wants to be the first one with the hot take.
With the take, that's what it is.
You know what I mean? Everybody has to have that hot take first.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
that's exactly what it is.
Like, yo, I can throw out this first hot take.
Yeah.
Be the one who gets it out there first. Maybe that'll get my maybe I can get 1,000 retweets on.
Yeah, niggas be trying to like call albums classics. Fam, I know you ain't listening to that whole album. I know you ain't listening to that whole album.
No, you didn't have a chance to. Like, you know what I mean? And you're like, yo, this shit is classic. Like,
nah, it's not.
Relax. Like, you know what I mean?
Also, because I'm, you know, we kind of getting off. Well, I'm going to get off subject. I don't think an album could be a classic when it hits. You know what I mean? You're not telling me the day of something is a classic. Because I don't judge records just on what the music is. What's going on?
Staying power is a huge part of it.
Staying power, cultural impact. Yeah. What's going on is a classic because it came right in the midst of Vietnam and the civil rights movement. It's not. It wasn't just, oh, this is great. This all songs. This is y'all criteria now. Oh, I can. I don't have to skip any of the songs. You're not supposed to.
No.
that's why it's on the album.
Yeah.
That's not a criteria to make a record great. You know. But yeah, I agree. It's like a hot take culture. We live in.
Yeah, I mean, everything has to be, you have to be first. I mean, the crazy thing is, our news is that way. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and that's the worrisome part. It's like, it's one thing when it's just so-and-so on Twitter.
Yeah, jerk on Twitter,
Yeah, he needs to get that first fire tweet off.
Yeah.
Like, it's problems, you know, it's problem when it's, you know, NBC Nightly News has to be the first one with a story, and so they're running with stuff that isn't fact-based, and they're running with fake news. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And even the presidency itself, is kind of, you know, in that same is being acted out. I don't know how to articulate that in that same kind of spirit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because homeboy is just he on Twitter, just homeboy is throwing out nonsense.
It's like every day you're like, oh, I have to follow Trump's Twitter to know what like national policy is.
Yeah.
I mean, you either what you could do is watch Fox and Friends first because then they'll tell the president what his policy is.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he'll go tweet it out.
Oh man,
you know what I mean? But they say like following it at all, like any like the insider leaks are all like his whole cabinet and like his whole like handlers like they don't know what they're gonna react to every day because they don't know what he's gonna post on Twitter.
Yeah,
and it's like. That's not how you operate a country, man.
No,
like,
at all.
I remember years ago, you'd watch like a political comedy show, like a Daily Show or something like that, and you get and they'll make fun of like some South American like half dictator dude who had like a weekly TV show who would go on there. And, you know, say crazy things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, they be make fun of it. Like, that's what the country has become.
We're living in it. Yeah, like, absolutely.
We literally have a dude who'd rather be on TV than actually run a country.
Oh, you know. What I mean? You know he was mad when he actually won.
Yeah, they said he was, like, he didn't think he was going to win.
Yeah.
He thought he was going to be able to leverage this into more celebrity.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And, like, he never thought he could actually
and the country was dumb enough to call him, call him out on his bluff.
Yeah. And crazy. Like now he's kind of like he's one of those dudes whose ego's too big to admit I didn't want this.
Yeah.
So like, there's no way he's just gonna be like, oh, I'll step down.
Yeah.
Like,
so he's gonna act out the role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus. No, but there's rumors that like he doesn't even want to run. For real. Like he won't even run again.
He'll just step down.
Yeah. He ain't gonna do that. But then, and again, it's like then you get the granddad from King of the Hill in the country.
It's terrible. His face is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dog, he's the worst. Yeah, I mean, he believes in gay conversion therapy. I mean, like,
Jesus Christ. Any of y'all listening to this that think that if your child come home and tell you that they gay, that you could send them off to a camp to get them converted, stop listening to the podcast and go jump in a hole.
Yeah.
For real. That's out of control. Like, absolutely. Out of
electric
control.
Shock to
like, niggas is shocking y'all kids.
Oh, dog, it's
terrible.
You can pray the gay away.
Yeah. That's a thing, though.
Yeah.
And they have whole cottage industries
of
people taking your money because you can't love your child as God made them.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
It's insane that, like, that's an actual thing.
And that these people who believe this kind of stuff are in charge of, like, policy for you and me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, no, they were talking about one of the dudes from the Cubs when they won the World Series. They were like, you know, what did he want to do? He was like, he didn't go to the White House when they all went to the White House. He was like, they were like, well, what are you going to do while you're in Washington? He was like, I want to go to the Dinosaur Museum.
Oh.
And the one comedian boy on late night was like, oh, so you're gonna go to Congress
and
view all the 90-year-old dudes. That's the crazy part is like they're like we're supposed to be like a, like this is how like proof of like it's not a republic, you don't do what the people want. No. Because like most people were against like Trump's healthcare bill.
Yeah.
Yet it gets pushed through. It's like, well, then you're not doing the will of the people. If most of the people don't want something and you do it anyway, that's not the will of the people.
Noam Chomsky talks about that all the time. I can't think of like how he the actual phrase that he describes it, but it's the distance between what politicians do and what the public actually wants and calls for. And the United States don't have a good track record on that at all.
No, it's like, you know, most people oppose the Iraq war. We're going to go to Iraq.
We're going to go anyway.
It's like, you're not running a republic like that. Yeah. Like, that's not how a republic's supposed to be run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not a democracy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Then it's like, yo, we're just listening. Like, because if we elect, but see, here part of the problem is like, those dudes like Mitch McConnell get voted into Congress or be Senate, but like for 30 years.
Yeah. You got a job for life.
Yeah. And it's like.
And then you can, you get in. And you can leverage your political power to make alliances, to get more money, more campaign funds, and you can basically buy elections for life.
And then when you retire, you work for a consulting firm or a lobbyist firm, and then you become the people who end up paying. Like, you get $1 million a year job working for a lobbyist firm who then you go and start paying. Like, the one dude, I forget his name, who was, I can't think, the dude who just came out, who was, like, wild anti-drug. And wanted to prop up more of the drug war, just got out of Senate, and now he's a proponent for legalized marijuana because he's working for a legalized marijuana firm.
Y'all niggas don't got no morals. No. Like, just do whatever.
No scruples, dog. Yeah. Like,
Jesus.
And it's crazy, and it's like, it's like the dudes who go like, oh, yeah, I'm anti-gay marriage till their kid comes out as gay. And now they're like, yeah, but he's in love with this other guy. And Tom's really nice. Like, you know what I mean?
A lot of the politicians who are like super anti-gay. And then, you know, they're like at a conference somewhere with like prostitutes of the same gender.
Yeah.
Come on,
then they're
y'all.
Sticking their foot underneath a bathroom. Yeah. In, like a bathroom stall. And then next thing you know, it's like, oh, well, you know what? Like, you know, I'm okay with homosexuality and I don't think it's demonized. Like,
Jesus.
And it's wild that that's the kind of stuff like it, you know, like you get dudes like who run like they're anti like, you know, Trump ran on like law and order and crime is at an all-time high, even though statistically it's not.
Crime is at an all-time low.
Yeah, but like he, you know, oh, I'm the law and order candidate, this, that, and the third. But like you'll have like half his cabinets being indicted for stuff.
Oh, y'all niggas got cases.
Yeah, like he's, you know, pardoning Joe Arpaio, the dude from Arizona who like defied federal order about like illegally like arresting Mexicans and and then you have what's his face, he supported the Alabama dude that was running for Senate that was like had mad cases of alleged child molestation against him.
Wow.
And it's like, so you're not a law and order candidate, you're law and order, like, you know what I mean? Whatever you deem worthy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a way to play on fear. It surprises me how fearful and willing to submit to fear the general American electorate is, specifically like the white American electorate. You know what I mean?
Oh, I remember like when Bush Jr. was running for re-election and they were running the political ads and it was like a white, you know, like a middle-class white family at like their dinner table and like outside, like wolves were just surrounding.
Oh,
the house.
Yeah.
And
was that wasn't, was that Hillary that did that?
No, it was Bush.
It was Bush.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was like these wolves were surrounding the house and it was like, oh, crime is on a high. And, you know, you have Al Qaeda at your doorstep and all that kind of stuff. And, like, that's what it was. It's like they run on these fears. Like, you know what I mean?
Al Qaeda.
They pump on fear.
Al Qaeda is not, or ISIS, whatever they're calling
it now,
is not coming to Iowa to attack y'all.
No one,
there's ISIS. Nothing there.
They're not worried about blowing up I'm assuming cornfields.
Yeah. Like, they blew up all of our silos. Yeah. Nah, it's not happening. It's not happening.
Like, you're growing corn for Monsanto. Like, you know, what I mean? Monsanto should be your enemy, not ISIS.
Right.
Like,
and
that's the thing. Like, that, but that's, you know, they prop up that kind of shit. Absolutely. And, like, again, like, I think it drawing it back is like him doing that photo op with Meek.
Yeah.
Essentially. Like, oh, well, see, you know, I'm sitting down with people. And he's always been a dude. See, he's a. Trump is a, like a celebrity worshiper, and like, you know what I mean? Like, he was excited that Kanye tweeted about him. Like, he kept bringing it up in interviews. Yeah. Like, why are you bringing – you're the president of the United States.
Yeah.
Why are you bringing up the fact that Kanye tweeted about you?
I mean, in all fairness, he did make graduation. That's, so.
You know what I mean? It all falls down. You know
yeah.
Know
that's,
I mean?
That's an accomplishment for Trump.
Life of Pablo is still a great album.
Yo, that's yeah. I didn't like Yeezus.
Yeah,
but yeah, Life of Pablo.
You can miss me with Yeezus, but like, Life of Pablo is a really great album. Yeah. You know what I mean? No, and that's the thing. Like, even on that front of being like, you know, Kanye's tweeting about Trump and this, that, and the third, it's like. Trump likes that. Like, he likes to be a he's a celebrity dude. Like, I watched this documentary on him, and they were talking about the fact that, like, he's never been the greatest businessman in the world. Like, he's failed at most businesses. Most businesses he's had have all, like, gone bankrupt or, like, they folded or whatever. He's been a master media manipulator, though.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, he essentially, like, from the end of the 80s to early 90s, he was in, like, complete, like, economic failure, like all his business, like the casinos had went bankrupt and all that kind of stuff. He leveraged his like rich guy media persona into continuing that, and that's how he got his money back.
Yeah,
was you know he became the rich guy who popped up in like a Domino's pizza ad or a McDonald's ad or you
Home
know
Alone
I mean?
2.
Yeah,
yeah,
and like that's who he just manipulated like. His rich guy persona and being like the symbol. I remember being a kid and like the name Donald Trump was like, oh, that's a rich person.
Yeah.
Like that's what rich
money.
People are.
Yeah.
He had a fucking helicopter with his name on it.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? I remember being a kid and like, what was the Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? And like, they went to his apartment and it was an all gold apartment.
Yeah.
And I remember being a kid going like, oh, like this is what rich people live like. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's interesting too that you bring that up because I've seen a lot of folks speaking back to the hot take kind of practice that we engage in. I've seen folks kind of Monday morning quarterback hip hop's references to Trump.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, a lot of y'all, you know, rappers. I've specifically seen folks try to connect Trump's, you know, the misogyny that Trump kind of trafficked in while he was running, for president, connecting that to hip hop. Oh, well, y'all are misogynists because y'all are referencing Trump or hip hop. Yeah. Try like a real tenuous connection people been trying to make. But like you said, when we was kids in like the 80s, Trump just meant money.
Money, yeah.
That's what rappers and people from the ghetto were like identifying with or
his
like aspiring
name was on casinos
to.
And stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, it was just about money. It was
nobody
just
was co-signing him building a wall and grabbing women and all that stuff. That's like Monday morning quarterback stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like that's why I won't even give Russell Simmons has his own stuff now.
Yeah, you notice we mentioned Russ in a long time.
there's pictures of like him and hanging out with Donald Trump in like the late 80s or early 90s. It's they were rich folks. Like,
of
rich
course
folks,
he was.
Yeah, like they hung around each other at like Coke parties and stuff like that, I'm assuming.
100%.
So like, that's not like, it's like, yo, I'm not putting what he did then on now, Kanye meeting with Trump now when he wins, like that's a
we
whole
knew,
other
yeah,
issue.
We already, yeah. I don't even say we knew, like, we knew this dude was a scumbag,
yeah.
since the Central Park Five situation, exactly. Like, we knew he was a scumbag, but you know, to connect it with like the misogyny and the you know, anti immigrant sentiments and all of that, that kind of I feel I could be completely wrong,
yeah,
he probably has a track record, but
yeah.
that seemed to me like something that came along later.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, to go like, oh well, he's been racist because of the Central Park Five thing, and then you know, like he had like a bunch of lawsuits against him for like
kicking out black folks.
Yeah, kicking out black folks, yeah, and stuff like that, and like not like letting black folks move into different places, stuff like that, right? Yeah. But I mean, he's a rich white dude. Like, I generally assume they're racist.
That's
like,
happening.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? So,
and how many rappers knew about that kind of stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that hip hop, in particular, when referencing him and engaging with him,
it's a sign of wealth.
It was the money. Money. Yeah, it was the money thing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And he was a New York guy, and you know, hip hop being so generally based in New York, especially in the late '80s, early '90s.
Yeah,
like. That idea of wealth of being like Trump Tower and like, you know what I mean?
It was all around. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, I mean, and then that ties into like the old, like the rich white people being racist thing. Like this week, obviously the NFL came out with their policy on like standing for the anthem. And,
yeah.
You don't have to stand. You have to stay in the locker room if you don't want to stand.
Yeah.
And you know, everybody has their take. Again, we live in the land of hot takes.
Max Kellerman is claiming he came up with this. He very well could have said it, you know what I mean? Possibly. I'm not sure.
Like, there's definitely, like, everybody wants to have their take on it and all that. And listen, man, like, you know, we live in a city where the Super Bowl was actually won this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people who had their, I'm not watching the NFL all this year, watched for a Super Bowl.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
sure. And I'm not telling somebody they're a hypocrite for doing it.
No.
Because a lot of people who I see talking about like, oh, I won't watch the NFL no more, blah, blah, blah. Mm. But they watch the NBA.
You think the NBA
ran my man out for not standing for the...
Abdul Raouf.
Yeah, like man. They ran my man out for not doing it.
And he was balling on cats.
Yeah.
Ran him out.
He was still balling just like last year in that big three.
You
like,
saw
you know
that?
What I mean?
He's 50 years old. Dog.
So
it's
like,
crazy.
And the NBA has had that rule since like the mid... Like late '80s, early '90s, they've had
that you
rules.
Have to stand
have
for the flag,
to stand
yeah,
for the flag, the anthem. Yeah. So like, and I know the NBA then does allow people to do other things, like you know what I mean. And they have, but the NBA also has much more face recognition, and it doesn't. It has 12 guys or 15 technically, but 12 guys who dress for game. 12 actual people who the NFL is 53 guys that are standing on that field on each side. So that's 106 guys that like. People have different
experiences,
you know,
opinions,
and mind states and all that kind of stuff like that. So like, you know, it's a lot easier to rally 12 guys to one idea, especially in a league that's like majority black. Even the NFL is like majority black. It's 80%. But for 53 guys, even if you have 10 white guys that are on that team, you know, it's hard. Like, most of those white dudes don't come out. Like, Chris Long from the Eagles is one of the rare white dudes who's actually come out in any type of support. I think it's him, like, Travis Kelce and, like, one other white dude, I think, have come out and said anything.
Yeah.
But, like...
The mother cats, a lot of them going, you know, even if they are on the side of the protest,
they're
going to fall back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're worried about that kind of stuff, worried about blowback. You know what I mean? And, like... I've seen people say, like, oh, well, players should just not play, like, just refuse to play. And it's like, dog, how many of y'all work for a boss that's wild racist? You don't refuse to go to work.
work for one of these industries that are, like, damaging the planet or any of this stuff. I'm not saying that people shouldn't stand up, and I don't think that's what you're saying either.
No, I'm not. Not at
you
all.
Know what I mean? I think that a lot of times we're really judgmental, and because we have the means to let our opinion out, you know, instantaneously, I think we're really judgmental of others and what others don't do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I think it's like, hey, listen, man, like, I don't judge, like, if you're going to boycott the NFL because you don't agree with it, I get that. I completely understand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And my whole thing is, like, I don't necessarily believe, like, you not watching the games makes the bigger impact.
You've said that before,
yeah, as long as you still support what supports the NFL and all their brands and all their sponsors, you're still pumping money into the NFL because you buying
Cheerios or something.
Yeah, or, like, Bud Light. Bud Light's one of their main sponsors. So, like, you know what I mean? Your money still gets pumped into the NFL, whether you realize it or not.
Y'all niggas listening to this better not be drinking no Bud Light.
Respect yourself better than that.
Your insides is aluminum now.
Exactly.
I better not be drinking
Respect yourself better than Bud Light. I don't care if it's the cheap drink that night. Like,
nah.
Drink water that night. You don't need to be drunk.
Drink water. Yeah.
You don't need to be drunk.
With the NFL, I think that for me personally, I think that my interest in football has been steadily declining anyway. And this is not any sacrifice or even a boycott on my part. I'm probably not going to watch the NFL this year. Yeah. A lot of it I'm probably not going to watch. You know what I'm saying? Because it just I'm tired of the way this issue has been handled, you know, on the behalf of the league management and ownership.
Well, they even, like, support, like, owners who supported the players weren't even asked about this. They pushed this vote through.
They just pushed it through. Yeah, so it's management. Yeah, so it's a management issue.
It's an image issue.
Yeah.
But what the problem is, what they don't realize and how short-sighted it is for a league that's, like, very, like, has always been about, like, you know, imaging and branding and all that kind of stuff, how short-sighted it is to be like, yo, we're making this a bigger deal than we even should. Like, you know what I mean? Like, by holding Kaepernick, by, like, blackballing Kaepernick, you made Kaepernick the symbol for this.
For real.
You know what I mean? By not hiring other players, you then make this a bigger deal. Yeah. By making this a rule, now you're making this a bigger deal. Like, you're making it worse as you go along. They're the dude that's lying to his girlfriend and just continues the lie.
Keep going,
just being like, you know what? Like, you caught me. You know what I mean?
People, and I think might have been Michelle Beadle that said this, people wasn't even talking about this this week. You know what I'm saying? This was a non-issue. Not a non-issue because, you know, we knew the season was coming up there was going to be a response from management or the owners or the players. So, you know, we knew this thing wasn't squashed.
Yeah.
But they just kind of, like, threw the gas on the fire.
Gas on the fire. Like, they, you know? Like, the smarter thing to do would have been, like, hey, let people protest. You know what I mean? It's their right. Come out. Like, even if you could come out and say, listen, we believe that people should stand for the anthem because it's this. But we understand that they're not protesting the troops. They're protesting this, blah, blah, blah. They're protesting, you know, police brutality and racism. But we believe people should stand, but it's their right to kneel, and if that's what they want to do, they do it. Simple, end it right there.
And that's exactly what you just said. When they're not going to do that, or because they're not going to do that, that is why the NFL is going to continue to jam itself up around this issue. Because they don't want to make a real connection between what's happening on that field during that protest or during that moment when the flag goes up and what's happening to black people in this country.
Exactly.
And because they don't want to draw that connection, which is, it would seem obvious. The players have been saying it. Yo, we don't feel as though this country gives black lives a fair shake.
Yeah.
It manifests itself in a lot of ways, but, you know, we're mainly talking about in how police are shooting black people dead in the streets for nothing. Because the NFL doesn't want to have that conversation, and because they don't, which they probably shouldn't, do, you know, thinking about the response and backlash that's come from white football fans, they probably shouldn't trust their fan base to have that intelligent, factual conversation.
Yeah.
That's going to continue to jam them up because they're going to continue to have to contort this thing to make it about the flag or about the troops. Kaepernick, and I'm sure we've said it here and a bunch of other people have said it, Kaepernick is kneeling because, you know, a serviceman asked him to.
Exactly, yeah.
So he's not protesting the troops. He's not protesting, which, you know, Josh and I, we protest the troops. We protest the flag itself.
Yes.
You know, because we radicals and we don't like this country.
Yeah.
But I understand that politically that's not what's happening here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? These dudes are making a very simple statement. This country is racist. It's founded on racism. It's thoroughly racist. We don't want to stand for this celebration of this country because we're not getting a fair shake and our people not getting a fair shake. The NFL knows, I think, that their white constituents ain't going to have that conversation. Yep. So you got to do other stuff. You got to force them out. Yeah. You know?
And the whole, like, the backing of it is simply, like, we're afraid of our bigger white audience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so
it's a business.
Yeah, exactly. They're operating as a business. Like, and again, but the, what they're doing is just making it a bigger issue than like if you just come out with that statement and be like, hey, it's their right to protest, and then go, you could go behind the scenes and go to the like the TV, you know, to like Fox and all that and be like, hey, listen, just don't show the sideline when it's going on.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't show
it,
the people.
Because they're gonna look extra salty when a bunch of cats decide not to come in.
Yeah.
And it's looking janky out there.
Yeah. It's you like know? You just go, you know what, just don't show the sideline. You know what I mean? And they just they're throwing, like you said, like Michelle Beatles, like they're just throwing fuel on the fire. They're making it worse when they could just not make it a non-issue. You know what I mean?
Just make it a non-issue.
And go forward.
I feel like the NFL would rather have a lot of us mad at them than a lot of them mad at the NFL. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. Because the numbers are just bigger. Like, you know what I mean? And, you know, they're selling more Bud Light and Chevy Tahoe trucks and stuff like that to white America. Like, you know what I mean? Simple and plain.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure, like, Blue Lives Matter license plates come with when you buy, like, a Chevy Silverado or a Ford, like, you know, Ford 150, F-150. Like, you know what I mean?
I saw somebody made a post. I think it was Davey D. Shout out to Davey D in Oakland. Made a post. It was like the black KKK or something like that. I don't know if that was his caption or somebody else's caption, but it was pictures of all the black Congress people that voted for the Blue Lives Matter bill. You know how embarrassed you'll be if your uncle was one of them. You're like, yeah, man, my uncle, he a congressman. He voted for the Blue Lives Matter bill. You might have to uninvite that nigga to the cookout.
Yeah.
You can't come.
Or don't you definitely don't take pictures with him.
No, never.
Take pictures with him.
Never.
The best was when in the Atlanta first season when he's like when they get he's getting out of jail and Paper Boy sees the boy the cop when he's walking down the cop's like, yo, let's take a picture for the gram.
Yeah. He like, I don't know about that. Yeah.
He's like, come on, put a peace out. Put a peace out. I mean, he's sitting there like this. Like
I love it at the end when he walks off. He's like, man, I love this rap shit.
Yeah.
Like, what? Yo, police, what are you talking about?
Yeah. No, that's the thing. Like, yo, I don't want to be seen. Like, no pictures with none of that.
Yeah, that joint's terrible. And shout out to, we used to talk about this earlier before we started recording. Like, people say the entertainment game, like, steals your soul. Politics steal your soul, dog. There's no way any of those grown black men thought it was cool to pass a Blue Lives Matter bill. We ain't got a Black Lives Matter bill. No. Like, get out of here.
But it's a, you know, they got their pockets lined by the right people. And yeah, and it's wild when you like step back from it and you see like, oh, this president, this Republican president, when he gets out of office, is right on. You know, he leans more leftist than he did when he was in office. It's like, yeah, because he's not getting his pockets lined by like super right wing things anymore.
Yeah.
Like that's why.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Jesus. Like generally, I think you know most people aren't like the devil incarnate.
Yeah.
But like when you get into a business where it's like, yo, I can get billions and millions of dollars if I say this, I'll just do that.
Just go ahead and say it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's why when they say like, oh, well, you know, like money changes you, like, yeah, it changes with the aspects of what you have to go through. Like, you know what I mean?
Me and Josh, we ain't even got no money.
Nope.
And we compromise all the time.
Yes.
Behind the scenes.
Yes.
There's stuff y'all don't see.
Yes.
And we'd be like, yo, we going to do that?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to do it.
You know what I mean? I'm going to do it now.
Oh, man. That's funny.
No, that's definitely it, dog. Like, listen, there's compromises you got to make sometimes. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
It's crazy, but it just is what it is.
It is what it is. Do you want to talk about this Wynton Marcellus thing?
Yeah, I mean, we can.
Don't buy any Wynton Marcellus CDs.
Yeah. If you love hip-hop.
Yeah, if you love hip-hop. And I know you're going for the Wynton Marcellus CDs if you love hip-hop. So he gave, like, an interview.
Yeah.
You know, famed jazz musician Wynton Marcellus has had a complicated relationship with hip hop culture
forever,
as long as I was a kid. Yeah, since I was a kid, when that whole Young Lions movement came in through jazz, and you had Wynton and different musicians who were like dudes in their 20s or 30s, you know, kind of taking up the mantle of jazz. But it's, you know, apparently he's still hostile to hip hop. He said that rap music is worse for black folks in particular, yeah, or was he just saying worse in general? I don't know. Than any statue of Robert E. Lee, Confederate general. What do you think about that? I don't think much of this.
I honestly think. Listen, I understand when people go like, "Oh, well, you know," but like, "Oh, hip hop is bad for this." But then, like, you're generalizing all of hip hop.
Yeah,
and like that's the problem. You're as bad as like white dude, you know. White politician dude who goes, "Oh, hip hop is bad," yeah, and blah, blah, blah. And
or like, Marilyn Manson made those kids commit suicide. Yeah, like that kind of stuff.
You're generalizing a culture that is ever expansive.
Absolutely.
And, you know, employs more black folks than you do. Like, you know what I mean?
More than jazz.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm just being real. Yeah, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, you're not. You're generalizing so much,
yeah,
that, you know, like what harm has Outkast done compared to a statue of General Robert E. Lee?
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean.
I think that Wynton, because, you know, I remember being a kid and reading interviews of his in like Vibe magazine or whatever, and somebody would play him like A Tribe Called Quest, and he was like laughing at that, like, "Oh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
This ain't jazz." Because I guess when that whole jazz hip hop thing was happening in the 90s, he said something to the effect that like young people would come up and play him, you know, Tribe Called Quest or something. He was like, "Oh, that's terrible. Somebody played me that song by that group." So he doesn't like it aesthetically.
Yeah.
And then also, guys like Wynton Marsalis, well, I won't say guys like him in particular, it seems like, he views the world through what we would call like a respectability politic.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He's one of them old school black folks that think, you know, you got to show up to, you know, somewhere in a suit in order to, and not curse too much in order to survive or get ahead.
Oh, he would definitely give you the pound
cake speech. Oh, yeah. This is, you know, equivalent.
Yeah, exactly.
The pound cake speech, Bill Cosby's famous address to the NAACP, I think so. Yeah, it was much more horrific than this thing. I think that this is taste, and this is, you know, just the prism through which he sees the world, if I'm saying that correctly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's, you have some black folks, and like younger folks ain't with that at all. You know what I mean? But you used to have a few folks that hold on to this, you know, "Oh, if only we pull our pants up." You know what I mean? This is kind of like an aesthetic version of that.
Yeah.
And he's been pushing him along with the Ken Burns jazz documentary that came out years ago. They've been pushing this narrative. I don't want to say necessarily divorcing jazz from its blackness, but kind of enhancing, like putting a suit on jazz, or like trying to enhance it, you know, like the quote unquote Americanness of jazz. It's like, "Oh, this ain't black music." They said that in Ken Burns' documentary so many times. I don't know if niggas
I never
even
watched it.
It's interesting if you're obsessed with jazz.
Yeah, that's,
you
that's
need
the thing.
To.
I like jazz music. I'm not five part miniseries.
Yeah,
in love with jazz.
I had them joints on VHS.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that was like for me.
Yeah.
But I noticed that one, they ignored all of the black power aspects of jazz that was happening in the 60s and even somewhat about the 50s, but like 60s and 70s. They ignored all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think that ideologically, like that Ken Burns documentary, so many people that they quoted in that would say, "This isn't black music. This isn't white music. This is American music." No, this is black music that the rest of the nation shares in.
Exactly.
This is a black culture that the rest of the nation shares in. Because it couldn't have been white music or black music when it came up in the height of Jim Crow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because there wasn't nothing that was white and black at that time. That's what it was. It was segregation.
Well, it's viewed in a like a retrospective lens, like Muhammad Ali is viewed in a retrospective.
Oh, yeah.
One of our greatest American heroes.
Great American hero. Yeah.
Like, yo, white folks wanted him dead.
Yeah, after you beat him down. Yeah. Absolutely.
Like,
King.
You threw him in jail and all that kind of stuff.
Martin Luther King.
King is the same way, yeah.
Shot him in his face.
Yeah.
took him out of here, away from his kids and his wife and everything.
Now he's the first black person that gets thrown in black people's face anytime there's like,
when white people disagree. Yeah, they disagree with you.
Dr. Martin Luther King wouldn't do it this way.
Yeah, like, what? What are you talking about? Yeah, it's disheartening to see somebody like Wynton Marcellus who has who has a platform, but also somebody who's so gifted and who has so much knowledge about black culture to be throwing out this kind of stuff. I'm not saying you gotta like rap.
No.
You know what I mean? But to specifically draw the comparison between, you know, a bunch of people lying about selling dope and saying the N-word over beats, to equate that with this person who fought actively to uphold slavery, that's not even just offensive. Like, that's irresponsible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's irresponsible. The idea that these two things are somehow comparable is dishonest. It's dishonest.
Exactly. It's like what Robert E. Lee stands for and what like hip hop stands for.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, you can't hold those two in comparison.
One, like you know what I mean? Like you said, hip hop is broad. So it ain't all, you know, negative stuff. Some of it's positive, some of it's kind of neutral. That's fine. That's what, you know, a full culture ought to be, or a genre of music ought to have, you know, different moods and different aspects to it. The idea that you focus in on just the negative, I'm assuming he was talking about in the way of like the drug dealing thing and the shooting stuff that happens in rap lyrics, and I know he don't like the N-word and all that stuff. To compare that to somebody who fought to uphold the most brutal system in human history is irresponsible. It's not intellectually honest. And these niggas show up to universities with suits on and they talk about, you know, being critical and really looking at things with a critical lens and all of that. That's not that.
No.
That kind of comparison, that ain't that.
No.
You know?
And listen, man, I'm not going to say, like, oh, Wynton Marcellus ain't, you know, like, when was the last time he addressed, like the prison industrial complex or anything?
Come on, you talking about rap?
Yeah, like, Lord knows, maybe he does, and I have no idea about
it. Yeah, and then again, yeah, we ain't really, like, checking this nigga catalog. Yeah,
I don't follow him on Twitter, dog.
Yeah, so,
like,
yeah.
I mean, maybe he retweeting Sean King all the time. I have no idea.
Is Sean King black?
I think
they still say he was black. I don't know. If they was like riding him up on Twitter saying he not black.
I'm not sure.
He might be. I know. I'm not going to shout my man out. I know a white dude look like him.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, but that don't mean nothing because, you know, this blackness is, you know, broader than that. Just of outward appearance. But, yeah.
No, I don't know. I've heard that before.
I don't want to derail. You know what I mean? Yeah. I just wanted to throw that out there.
I've heard people say that before. Like, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I mean, listen, I just go like, you know, if there's other things you can rail against aside from like a culture that is vibrant, worldwide, employs, I don't know how many people of color, makes a bigger cultural impact. I mean, like, you know, jazz made a huge cultural impact. Not 100%. Anymore.
Yeah, jazz is, you can't ever like discount that.
No.
You don't, you know what I mean? And hip hop. You know how much jazz, I didn't come out, you know, jazz wasn't on the radio when I was a kid. I found it through hip hop.
Exactly.
A lot of older musicians don't see that or don't care about that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, hip hop opened me up to a lot of older music. Because then you go like, oh, well, then like all of a sudden you hear a song on the radio, go, oh, like, that's the song they sampled for this. And then like it opens you up to listen. I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to listen to more stuff from this person because this artist found a way to sample him and make him dope for this. Like, I'm going to check out this. And then you go, oh, this opens up a whole another wave. It's the same thing with jazz, too. Like, you know what I mean?
You know how diverse, not all people, but you know how diverse, like, our friends group music taste is?
Yeah.
That would not have happened without hip-hop and sampling culture.
Exactly.
At all.
Exactly.
At all.
No, and, like, I don't know, man, like, I don't know why, like, that was his chosen thing. But like you said, he's been again. Like, I remember being a kid in the 80s, early 90s, and he was wild against hip hop then. So.
Yeah, he wasn't with it.
And like you said, more than anything, it's the respectability. He's a respectability dude. He's like, oh, well, if you put a suit on and you know what I mean, you do this, you're not a wild dude. But he's somebody who probably, like, I'm sure if you go back, he probably championed Bill Cosby and his his homeliness and, you know, he was America's dad type shit. So.
Running with Bill Cosby, dog. You can't tell me nothing about rap.
He probably was on the Cosby Show, dog. Like,
he might have been. No, he wasn't on it. One of his brothers, not Branford, the other dude whose name I can't pronounce. I'm sure he was on there.
Yeah.
And what's crazy about it, his brother rocked with the hip hop. Yeah, his brother was down with Gangstar.
Yeah, I know.
Terrible. Terrible.
I wonder if it's just jealousy that Guru ain't pick him.
Yeah, that's what it is. You ain't never played on no Primo beats, nigga. You mad?
Yeah.
Nah.
That's what it is, man.
Yeah.
He wanted to play on a Primo beat.
Yeah, shout out to Primo. No shouts out to Wynton Marcellus. Nah.
Yo, did you hear, again, this is internet, like, conspiracy stuff. Primo, I heard Primo say that Drake's new record is ridiculous. I saw that. Like,
I did
2 months
see that,
ago.
Yes.
Now the rumor is that Primo did most of Drake's new record. I don't think that's possible, though.
No, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But also, I don't necessarily want to... I love Premier.
Yeah,
I love
Drake.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if that...
I love pizza, but I don't want ice cream on top of it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. I wouldn't mind hearing Drake on a Primo beat. Maybe 2 Primo beats on the record. That's great.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily know if I want a whole record of Drake on Primo.
Drake will give you like the pound cake joint.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like the come through joint. He'll give you different vibes on a record.
Exactly.
I don't necessarily, not that Primo can't make different vibes. Primo's a genius.
Yeah.
But I don't know how that would sound.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, he could give you, you know, maybe he gives you a Nas is like. And then he gives you the wick too on that.
Yeah.
And you know, I could hear Drake on the wick.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? And I could hear him on the Nas is like type.
He could jump on most things.
Yeah.
To be
so
honest.
Like I could hear where he could like, oh well he did it, but like, I don't know if he's gonna, if Primo could give you a whole record like
yeah.
that. You know what I mean?
And that could be like an internet lie. Y'all niggas on the internet love lying about rap.
I'm sure someone saw the quote that said Primo says Drake's new record is fire, and somebody wrote, oh, Primo's producing all of Drake's new album.
Primo doing the whole thing. And Ambrosia for Heads, like, retweeted it. It's like, yo, it's on Ambrosia for Heads. Of course it's true.
And then, like, I mean, listen, like, everybody went wild when it was before the whole Kanye tweeted about Trump. When it was, everybody was like, yo, Kanye's producing all of Nas' album. He's producing all of Pusha's album.
Yeah.
He's producing
his Tiana
whole
Taylor
album. Yeah, he's producing Tiana Taylor, and he's doing an album with Big Sean and him, like, or no, Kid Cudi and him.
Kid Cudi, yeah.
It's like, dog, like, there's no way he's doing 5 albums worth of production.
How
like,
Kanye not doing? He not, this not, you know, 99 Kanye. No, he's doing a bunch of beats.
I spent 2 whole summers in my crib on the NPC. Let's say that Kanye no more. Dog.
Kanye ain't got no NPC.
Nah.
He probably rent one.
Yeah.
Rent one. You know what I mean?
He may like be overseeing these albums, but he's not like, I mean, cause you know, I guess we can move on to like, you know, what we're listening to this week. Cause there were 2 big drops this week, 2 big album releases. Of course, there was my brain just went blank. Pusha T,
Daytona.
Guess what? Kanye did not produce that whole record. So,
y'all lying on Twitter.
Yeah, like
lying about rap. You mad at Rick Ross for lying about his life? You lying about the rap game?
Yeah,
stop it. They said I heard somebody say that he remade all of the beats. Like the producer sent them in, and Kanye said, "Oh, I will sit down and remake it." Why would he do that?
Why?
Doesn't make any sense.
No.
Does he have special magic in his fingers?
No. It's like, dude, there's no reason to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I could see him producing in the Dr. Dre sense of producing and being like, you know what? And, you know, add a cymbal right here. And bang, that's a masterpiece.
I loved it. Whoever said that years ago, I still hear mad people say that. Like, man, you know, Puff would just come in and add like a finger snap and take the whole credit. Shout out to whoever started that.
And then Diddy bop out the room.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
So you didn't listen to the Pusha T record
I didn't listen to it. No, I meant to. you know what? Life gets in the way.
We're busy.
We are literally recording this the day the album's dropped. So, yeah. You know what I mean?
I don't know what y'all expect. Yeah. But, you know, there's
only so many hours in a day.
And we're not going to do y'all like niggas do y'all on Twitter.
And tell you it's a classic.
Yo, it's a classic, son. Yeah. And it hit Spotify like 18 minutes ago. Like, nigga, you ain't even run through that whole record yet. But I did listen to a bit of it this morning. I have probably said on this podcast before that I'm not the biggest Pusha T fan. I was a huge Clips fan, huge Re-Up Gang fan. I might have liked Re-Up Gang. I ain't going to say that. I might have liked Re-Up Gang more than Clips, but Clips had too many classics. I can't do that. But Pusha T, his solo career has been underwhelming for me. You know what I mean?
King Push.
Yeah. He's a dope MC. He got clever lines.
Yeah.
He's just one of them cats that I don't want to hear rap. I don't necessarily want to hear him rap.
Yeah, I'm good for like, oh, he's got a good guest verse here and there. And
yeah.
He's a dope MC. First of all, I always like Malice better.
The same.
So
the same.
Apparently I need to listen to Christian rap now because
that's where we go with it.
Yeah. You know, I need to get saved and listen to some. Oh Christian man, rap.
We're totally gonna get saved. On one of these episodes.
Yeah,
do like a baptismal. Yeah.
Born again.
He said what?
We can become born again on the podcast.
Oh man, you know our numbers. What kind of numbers we would do?
Yeah, definitely.
If we did that,
definitely. I mean, we lose our core audience, but
y'all are scumbags. Though. Like we love y'all, but y'all not going to help us get into heaven.
Takes a scumbag to love a scumbag.
100%.
No, I've always been more of a Malice fan than I was a Push fan anyway. But, like, you know, I think the dude can rap and all that kind of stuff.
He's
I just
ill.
Haven't had a chance to listen to it yet.
Yeah, he's ill. The production is good. It's like 7 tracks.
Oh, that's right down my alley. Yeah. You know, I'm all about that.
He made it for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a good, solid record from what I heard. I want to listen to it more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I tried to intentionally get past how much he annoys me.
Yeah.
I think he's a fake drug dealer. You know what I'm saying? Like he's in the same category with Ross to me.
Yeah.
Like I understand.
Yo, he made the da 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 da. I'm loving it. He ain't never had to sell coke again, dog.
Nah.
Like
even if he did, because I know he's not selling coke now.
Yeah.
I don't believe that he did it then. That's the point of contention for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't need rappers to
nah.
do any of that stuff. You know what I mean? Niggas used to say, Ice Cube used to say all kind of crazy stuff on records. And even as a kid, I was like, he ain't doing all that. Nah. You know what I mean? So
he's been paid since he was like 16. Like, come on. NWA came out. So.
Yeah, I don't need all of that. But because so much of his Pusha T's
persona
is like obsessed with that. And everything is just variations of that.
Yeah.
I can't take that seriously. And I don't want to listen to it.
I think part of it is you kind of, at a certain point, you kind of got to grow out of that. It'd be like listening to Jay-Z talk about, yo, I'm still selling coke and I'm doing this.
Yeah.
It's like, dog, like, Jay, even when at a certain point was like, I don't sell, he may tell you, like, oh, I was doing it in 88.
Yeah. 88.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like to keep pushing, like, oh, I'm, you know, old slabs on the table, blah 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 blah. Like, you know
how many
I mean?
Times?
Yeah.
Even Ross give you different like images.
Yeah.
He's a liar too.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? But he give you different different feelings and different stuff. Pusha T, it's too much. It's overwhelming for me. I don't want to listen to that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Throughout a whole record or throughout this nigga whole career.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not even. I don't even enjoy him that much as a rapper to put up with it. Like, Drake says a lot of nonsense off records. I enjoy him as an MC.
Yeah.
Freddie Fox
yeah.
says a lot of nonsense off records. Or maybe, like, now he be spitting, like, knowledge and stuff like that. But then he spit knowledge back in the day.
Yeah.
But he say a lot of stuff I can't vibe with. You
Ghost
know what
face.
I mean? Ghosts the same way.
Yeah.
But I enjoy them as MCs.
I think it's a thing of not enjoying Push as much as an MC. Like I said, always liked his brother better, dog. Like
yeah.
it's just how it is.
I'm mad his brother left the rap game
yeah,
like
too.
He did.
Yeah.
You know?
I always enjoyed Malice. I thought Malice was trickier with the words. That's
yeah.
just me. You know?
And he Malice Pusha T and
my
it's
hammer truck for my hammer tonka. Like
there
my
you go.
The truck for my hammer tonka. Dog, you know
that
what
was
I mean?
Malice?
Yeah.
Yeah. See Pusha on this record, a lot of it, like, he's spitting, and it, but a common, like, his tone and the way he's, like, approaching the beats, a lot of his stuff seems, I don't want to say stiff, but, like, Malice, I always liked Malice because it was, like, a little more, like, chaos in what he was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that about MCs, where there's, like, a little, it's not every bar is strictly regimented and, like, you know what I mean? A lot of the punchlines is like, look at what I'm doing kind of punchlines. I don't like that. There's some people, that's what they like in rap.
Yeah.
But not for me.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. I listened to the ASAP Rocky joint.
See, I didn't hear that one.
Yeah. In testing. I enjoyed it. It's like 15 tracks. I'd say like 10 are good.
Okay.
But again, it was one pass.
Yeah.
I didn't really delve deep in. Like, I can tell you, like, three songs off of it are definitely going to go on, like, my ASAP Rocky playlist.
Yeah. Maybe, like, we should listen again. Like, listen. I don't think we ever did that. Like, all right, we're going to come back next week and tell y'all what we
possibly
really thought.
I think maybe that, I mean, we maybe can revisit, especially depend. Well, I mean, we can talk about the what we just saw today that's possibly dropping next week. It's supposed to be dropping next week. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Supposedly, Thought is dropping a record with Ninth Wonder next week.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, like, well, that may be something we're diving into. We'll but that may that be too. A main topic next week. Maybe we revisit these two records next week and see how we feel about them, especially because neither one of us listened to the other record.
Yeah, yeah.
I really enjoyed it, though. I mean, again,
the ASAP Rocky.
The ASAP Rocky. Yeah. A lot of it is listening to a Rocky joint. It's kind of like taking it edible sometimes with, like, how, like, trippy some of his stuff can be.
Yeah, yeah.
He does that purposely, though. Like, that's the type of music he makes. Yeah. So, like, I don't know. Sometimes you have to catch certain stuff again on a second and third listen and go, like, oh, that's a dope. That was dope how he did that.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's packed with features and stuff. Like, there's a Kid Cudi joint on there that's dope. There's a French Montana joint that's on there that's dope. There's a Juicy J joint on there that I don't really like. I like Juicy J, but there's a joint on there I don't really like.
Yo,
it's crazy how, like, these younger dudes have kept Juicy, like,
for
in
real
the limelight. You know what I mean?
3-6 Mafia
been around since we were bucks, dog.
They had ads in the Source in like 92, 93. You know?
Yes. So they were dudes like that, them Swagger House dudes, Suave House they all, like, they kept the Source in business for a long time, dog, because they were buying, like, 10-page ads in there, you know? Like, there was, and it was all the Pen and Pixel joints.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the 3-6 Mafia joint would be, like, 3-6, oh, shit, I just hit the mic. It'd be, like, 3-6 Mafia real big, and then, like, the skulls all around.
Yeah. I was saying, Alyssa, because she know 3-6 Mafia from, like, 2000s. Yeah. I was like, yo, they was really on, like, some devil stuff. Like, 666 Mafia, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they were heavy into, like, that devil worship, like, hip-hop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of that, you know what I mean? And I think they played a lot on the idea of, like, super, like, Christian South. And,
yeah.
Like,
you know, they was writing the Bible Belt doing that.
You know what I mean? The Baptist stuff, like, they were playing, like, against that type.
Yeah. Wow. I hadn't even thought of that until you said that. Wow.
But, yeah, like, it's crazy how, like, younger dudes have kept Juicy J, like, still in the limelight.
Juicy J getting checks, yo.
Yeah. What was the other dude? Was it Crunchy Black?
Crunchy Black.
Yeah, Crunchy Black. And I forget the other dude.
DJ Paul. Yeah.
Remember they had a TV show?
They did. Yeah. They did. Remember when they won the Oscar?
Yes.
Yo, I was watching that. Like, I don't know why I think I was watching the Oscars because I thought they were going to win. And they came up. It was so wild. And he did Hard Out Here for a Pimp.
Yeah.
Which was...
It's hard out here for a pimp.
It's terrible. They had, like...
get that money for the rent.
They had, like, the set design. It was, like, a street. And they had, like, a white dude with, like, a pimp coat on. And, like, the women playing, like, prostitutes. It was wild.
At least I didn't win for Whoop That Trick.
Yeah. Man. Shout out to Hustle and Flow. Yo. Hustle and Flow is a good movie. Like... It was terrible, and Terrence Howard is
a bad human being.
Nah, dog. Did you hear? This is messed up. Did you hear Terrence Howard when he divorced his wife? His wife was white. He said she was verbally abusive. She used to call him like the N-word and stuff.
For real?
Yeah, and be like, I don't want to have your monkey babies and like all that. That's what I read.
Yo, he was like around here for a while. I don't know if he still does.
Yeah, he was in Philly for a while.
Yeah, they used to see him all the time, like in different areas. No, I didn't hear that though.
Yeah, apparently his wife was like a psychopath.
I don't understand sometimes when dudes like that get married, especially like, because I'm assuming he was married at a younger age, probably before he really broke.
Mm-hmm. No, this was recent.
Oh, really?
I was under the impression that it was recent. I could be wrong. Okay. Yeah.
I was gonna say I don't understand why like you get married at that younger age like that.
Don't get married before you blow up.
Yeah, don't get married before you blow up, man. Don't want too much opportunity away.
Yeah,
that's for guys and girls. I'm not.
That's everybody.
That's everybody. Sexist comment. Don't get married till you're older.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Or don't get married at all. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
he knows.
Yeah. I don't get why you would do it at that younger.
Shout out to Terrence Howard and Juicy J and A$AP Rocky.
And A$AP Rocky.
I had to do that for my own brain to be like, where did we come from?
Backtrack that one.
Yeah, yeah. I had to do that.
No, I definitely would say check it out. I'm sure you're saying check out the Pusha album. Please do.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Maybe we'll revisit next week because both of us will listen to the other album by then.
Because
I always like to get your ear on stuff of what you think is going to play.
Yeah. You know, I don't think none of the Pusha record. Like, really? I don't think nothing on the Pusha record is going to hit in like the club. But I've been wrong before. I remember you said God's Plan, and I was like, I don't know about that.
Yeah,
and it hit crazy. So
I called Unforgettable too.
Yeah, you did.
I called Unforgettable too. Again, yo, go check out that Race Remmer album. Though I still love that. I love that record.
I still haven't listened to it.
I love
it. I've been hearing songs off of it. I haven't heard a bad song.
It's so good. But like I said, the first one, and I really like Swae Lee's solo joint. I still haven't listened to the other one.
Yeah, yeah.
I like some of the songs I heard off the Swae Lee solo record. But yeah, other than that, yo, you know, we'll be back next week with more fire.
Hey.
Check us out on social medias. Yeah. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud,
Bam,
Brooklyn Radio,
all that. Shout out to Brooklyn Radio.
Spotify still drawn and wouldn't add us yet.
They still acting funny.
Yeah, Spotify still drawn.
Come on, Spotify, y'all got all kind
of run up in the Spotify offices. like Cube in the NWA
movie. Yeah, yeah. Where are they? Their offices, like on
New
the
York,
moon,
I think. So we can. I mean, it's an easy bus. You know, we gonna hop on the mega bus.
On the mega bus, you can't commit crimes on the mega bus. You cannot play in a crime riding on the mega bus.
I don't know if they'll let us like bring like baseball bats. On
yeah,
the mega bus.
Don't do it. Don't
like,
do
baseball
it.
Baseball bats with like the nails in them or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll let us do
Yo.
That. Go in there like the Warriors.
Right. Did you see the dude, the video of the dude getting hit with the sledgehammer?
No.
I never watched stuff like that. But it was like on the news. And it was like a road rage thing. And this guy hopped out of his truck and bashed the car with, a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And the passenger fell out the passenger side. His man drove off. And the ball ran down on the passenger's kind of like dazed. Yeah. Ball ran down on the passenger, hit him with his sledgehammer.
Yeah,
terrible.
Get hit with no sledgehammer, dog.
I gotta come back and kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't stand.
No.
My shoulder gonna be hurting when it rain for the rest of my life after that. Nah, yeah. I gotta come back.
No, sledgehammer, dog.
Terrible.
Especially if you swinging that with any kind of like fury.
He teed off.
It's made to break rocks, dog. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
He hit my man and my man went off screen. so you know.
Hit him with the Thor hammer.
Yeah, you know he rocked him. Terrible.
Mjolnir or whatever you call that joke.
Yeah. Stormbreaker.
Yeah. Other than that, man, we out, man. Peace.
Peace.
Yo.
Me and my fam pick this rap shit seriously.